What is up, email geeks? This is the Email Design Podcast, the best place to geek out over email design, development, and marketing. We are your hosts for the program. I'm Kevin Mandeville.
And I'm Jason Rodriguez.
And Jason, man, we have got a jam-packed show today with so much news, so much stuff going on that we got to talk about.
The good, the bad, everything in between, pretty much. So we're going to kick things off today with a little bit of news about the recent iOS 11 beta that's been out in the wild for a couple of weeks now. It was announced back at WWDC back in the beginning of this month by one of our good friends, Remy Parmentier. He was testing out the beta and found out that it looks like in iOS 11, at least in the beta, Apple has pulled out support for the video tag once again. So this is something that happened previously where Apple on iOS supported the video tag, which we've used before in some of our conference emails. They ripped out that functionality, they put it back in, and yet again, it is not supported. So this is looking like fairly disappointing news because Apple Mail was one of the few clients that actually supported the HTML5 video tag, so we could do some cool stuff there. So if this is ripped out, then you know that drops video tag support down to pretty much nothing. So that's really unfortunate to see because I feel like more people want to see video and email. More people are looking at ways to do it, and without that video tag support, it makes it that much harder for email designers.
Yeah, I'd love to just have the choice for us to choose, right? Don't make the decision for us. So yeah, just a crazy, you know, history, right? They supported it up through iOS 7, right? And then dropped for 8 and 9, supported it back in 10, and now possibly dropped again for 11. I mean, we should note that this is the beta. Things can change between the beta and the actual release. However, the trend with Apple is that whatever changes we've seen over the past few betas have held true. So it's not an encouraging sign from that perspective. And like you said, yeah, I mean, since iOS is so dominant, I mean, this literally goes from like, you know, 40% support down to nothing if that's the case. So that is just very, very disheartening. And it would really mean that the only type of video implementation you could do is the background video technique that we use for our conference email way back when, which will only work in Apple Mail and Outlook for Mac for the most part. So, yeah, just keep your eyes out on this, especially if you're planning on using video, trying to support it. And I don't even know, Jason, if we'll be able to target iOS 11 differently from iOS 10. I know there's the targeting hack that we have for iOS 10, but I don't even know if we'll be able to segment it. But Apple, they get their entire market to update anyways. I don't know that it's really going
to
be too effective for too long. Well, do you think this is done intentionally, or do you think that this is just falling through the cracks somehow?
I don't know. I get the feeling that it's more falling through the cracks. Like, it doesn't make sense to me that they would once support it and then not support it, then support it again. It seems like a bug or something that somebody on their team just isn't thinking about correctly. So I'm hoping that it corrects itself, or maybe we need to, like, you know, start a campaign or get people trying to talk to Apple engineers, even though that's damn near impossible, and try to get them educated about why we need it in there and how it has advantages, because it doesn't seem like there's very big downsides to supporting that. So I'm hoping it's just, you know, a misgiving on their part and it gets corrected. But we'll have to wait until iOS 11 is released this fall to see if it makes it through to the public release.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me that they just continually do this back and forth. To me, it seems like just a complete oversight. So that's all that we can hope. Also in the news for possible rendering changes anyways, Yahoo Mail, they have completely overhauled their UI. So we're not specifically talking about the underlying rendering, but they have a brand new UI, just a little refresh. And they also have a Yahoo Mail Pro, which they are distinctly calling out and calling to attention now. They've always sort of had a paid version, but they're, you know, debuting this new Yahoo Mail Pro version. and we've seen in the past, actually, differences between the ad-free version of Yahoo Mail and the standard ad version. Mm-hmm. There's some different CSS that it injects. But we're not really going to get into the differences between that at the moment. We just want to let people know that there is a refresh, which means that the underlying rendering engine, there might be some subtle differences or changes. Just tuning into the Email Geek Slack today, we're already seeing that the possibility of display none is being supported inline, which Yahoo Mail previously hadn't. And if you remember a lot of those older overflow bugs it was adding on tables for, you know, the overflow Y and X bugs, it seems like those are no longer affecting layouts in Yahoo Mail at the moment. So it's still early days and we might discover some new behavior, but it seems like there may be some possible quick wins for us in the community with this update, Jason.
Yeah, that would be really cool if that's the case, which, yeah, it seems like people in the Email Geeks Slack channel are confirming that, which is awesome. There's a couple other things that I kind of want to point out too in this article on The Verge that they called out specifically is that they're the main one to me is that they've also increased accessibility for their new version of Yahoo Mail. So I think that's important because we've talked about accessibility on the show before, and I still feel like a lot of email developers aren't taking it into account. But maybe this will be another log to throw on that fire, you know, of accessibility so people start making more semantic and accessible emails would be really cool because, you know, Yahoo Mail, which still has, you know, they've been dropping in users after all of the hacks and stuff and all these big tragedies with the company have been going on, but they still have a pretty large user base. So if all of those people have new accessibility tools, then we might want to focus on accessibility in our email campaigns a little bit more. And then the other one was I noticed in this release video, this product overview video that Yahoo released, there's a feature where it looks like you can zoom in on the message. There's like a little slider on the overlay on the message and you can zoom in and out on it. So I'm kind of curious if that how that actually works, and if that will affect anything as far as like responsive styling goes or if media queries kick in at a certain point when you're zooming in. But yeah, like you said, you know, we could get a couple of quick wins. We need to do some more testing with it and see if anything else is really changed from a rendering perspective, but it looks nice. I'm glad they're, you know, investing in their email client a little bit more and hopefully going to fix a couple of things and we'll all be much better for the work.
Yeah, that zoom feature looks interesting. It doesn't seem like that's really going to respect responsiveness. It probably looks as if you were just doing like a, you know, a command plus on your browser to just sort of zoom in a bit.
So
but that's actually, you're right. That is new behavior that would be interesting to test as well.
Yeah. Another email client update, this one from Google, which they announced recently that they're going to stop the practice of scanning your emails and feeding you ads based on the content of your emails. So this is something that's been extraordinarily controversial over the years. Google's essentially an ad machine. That's how they make all of their money. So for a long time, they've been scanning all the content of your email and then feeding you ads based on the content of your email. So it's similar to what they do with, you know, your search results, your YouTube viewing habits, your shopping habits that they all track and stuff. But a lot of people were really irked by the fact that they were doing this to their email because email feels that much more personal than anything else. So they're actually changing that behavior. So they won't be doing that anymore for their paying customers. So customers of the G Suite, formerly Google Apps, will no longer have their email scanned and have ads driven by that. It should be noted, though, that Gmail free users, which I would say the large majority of Gmail's users are those free users, will still have ads in the form of promoted messages. So those are the ads that'll pop up in your inbox. But it doesn't look like they're scanning your emails anymore to feed you those ads, to tailor those ads. Those are more coming from, you know, your search results, your YouTube history, stuff like that. So I think that's good news overall. I I like that it's a little bit more privacy focused, even though I don't trust Google as a company when it comes to most privacy related things. You know, it's very business driven there. So I don't think they have like the best of intentions, especially because this is more of a change that didn't come from their ads division, but came from their cloud group that controls the G Suite applications. And it's more of a change that they want to get more enterprise customers into their service. So enterprise customers, if anybody in software's, if you've dealt with enterprise customers, you know that they're very privacy and security conscious. So that's kind of the driving force behind this change. So it's a good change that rolls down, helps allow out a lot of consumers and stuff, but very business driven. So this isn't going to affect any real, you know, like CSS updates or rendering problems or anything like that. But we thought it was a pretty cool piece of news to share with you guys.
Google is like, we know so much about you, we don't even need to read your emails. We have everything that we need to go and target you with all your other behavior. We don't need to read your emails, which is, I actually think, somewhat scary. I think it's a good thing overall. Obviously, it's going to increase the perception of Gmail and users' trust for it. Mm-hmm. And especially fresh off the heels of some controversies like Unroll.me. I think this is just something that is going to be well received by consumers, and a smart move for Google. If they're really not getting a lot of value out of it,
yep,
might as well not do it. So, just a quick win for them, and always important to, you know, especially with Gmail, to see what they're doing. It can affect the trends of other providers as well, I think. All right, so we're going to take a quick break here. We want to let you guys know we've got a conference going on later this year. I know we promote it in other channels, but we haven't really talked about it too much on the podcast. So if you go to litmus.com/conference, our Litmus Live conference, you can go there to buy tickets. They're going out fast. We're having them in Boston, London, and San Francisco in August and September. So check those dates out. Going to be some of the best minds at email giving talks there, and just the best place, the best conference to go and connect with other email geeks like us. I'm doing a workshop. I know mine sold out in Boston already, only a few left in others. Jason, you're doing a workshop as well. Jason, you're doing more on like troubleshooting, you know, email rendering problems and whatnot.
It'll be Jane and I are kind of co-hosting, at least in Boston and London. Then I'm running it solo in San Francisco. But yeah, very focused on troubleshooting issues and common rendering problems.
Yep. I'm doing a workshop about just advanced layouts and responsive email. So we're going to go over all the different types of implementations you could do, the pros, cons, and learn how to do them so you can figure out what works best for you. Yeah. And again, those workshop tickets, they're selling. I mean, there's not many left.
Yeah, they don't last long. Yeah,
they don't last long. So get on that. Check it out. It's really the premier conference, the premier event for email people of the year. I know we're biased, but I mean, I've been to other conferences as well, and it's just this. Always looking forward to this one. Yep. And we want to let you know, if you can't afford the tickets, we do have some nice giveaways from some of our great patrons. And I actually sent out a tweet about this and I counted wrong because I didn't realize how many tickets we're giving.
Yeah,
I think
it seems like the biggest giveaway we've gotten running for the conference to date.
Biggest giveaway we've done, it's 16 tickets, I believe, and I'll have to double check my math again, but it's about like 15 free tickets thanks to our good friends over at Mailjet. They're giving away two tickets, one for Boston and one for London, and you can show off your MJML skills. So if you build an MJML template, they're going to send people who they thought did the best. SendGrid is giving away a ticket just by entering a little email expert quiz, so they did a fun little quiz. Taxi, our amazing friends over at Taxi, taxiforemail.com, they are giving away two tickets to each conference, which is amazing. So basically, to create your own email, you know, saying why you should win is their contest. MailChimp, six lucky email people there as well. Basically, you just need to say, hey, why should MailChimp send you to Litmus Live? And then Emma as well. And they want you to either HTML email or plain text, just send an email you're most proud of. And they're going to be giving away a ticket as well. So the contest, it opens today. which I guess is tomorrow for when we release the podcast. But the tickets are live now for free for drawing. Definitely get in on that. Live Clicker also is going to have a free ticket as well. But yeah, biggest giveaway, about 15 tickets or so. So make sure you get in on that. All right. Next thing we're going to talk about here, a cool little tool, which is from the same creators who did the Email Dogs Club pixel art generator creator that we featured previously. And this time they came out with, and this is Kim and Chris from Aweber, they came out with a duotone filter for email images. So you know the Spotify sort of effect of images where it's just got this duotone color effect. You can basically upload any image that you want here and then pick the color that you want to overlay on top of it, and it's going to generate that image for you for email, because you could use those effects for CSS, but obviously it's not going to be bulletproof in all email clients, especially things like Outlook. Just having a generated image is going to be the most bulletproof way. And this is so helpful because we actually sort of do this same color effect for our Litmus Live sort of like speaker images, Jason. And it's like, oh man, I wish I had this for some of the emails we did before, because it really is the alternative. You have to go into Photoshop and do this manually. Yep. So this is just an amazing tool to just help generate these images quickly to use in email.
Yeah, I really like that they released it on CodePen too, which is pretty cool. So it's, you know, using HTML, CSS, and I'm assuming some JavaScript to do its thing. But it's cool that it's kind of released as code. You can adapt the tool if you need to, but it's just, yeah, super handy. We used to have to go into Photoshop or, you know, your design program of choice. But if you don't have access to that and still want that effect, then this is probably the easiest way I've seen so far. So kudos to Kim and Chris from Aweber. I hope they keep releasing cool little tools like this because they're super helpful. The next kind of cool thing, we featured a couple of email template bundles on the show before. But there's a new one out. It's called Paper Plane. These look really, really nice. So these are bundles of templates that you can purchase. But they claim, you know, they support all clients. They were tested in Litmus, which is awesome to see. You know, it supports, it's HTML, so it's supported in all the SPs, but they actually have the templating features of MailChimp and Spotify built into the templates too. But these are some of the nicer templates that I've seen. So they have two packs that you could actually get. One is a set of three digest templates, and I absolutely love their news digest template. It looks beautiful. It's like great typography. The color scheme's awesome. It's like really well designed, nice and clean. All of them are nice and clean. So then there's another set called the notification templates. This is actually 15 different notification emails that you would send as like an e-commerce provider. So there's things like, you know, abandoned carts, new orders, gift cards, cancellation orders, shipping information, all of that stuff. So these look like really, really nice templates. So if you're not an email designer, if you're not an email developer, this is another batch of templates that you could use in your own email campaigns. And it's not too expensive either. You could buy each bundle, the digest or the notifications, for $30 pop. If you wanted to buy both of them together, then it's only $50 instead of $60. So pretty reasonable price, if you ask me, but really good looking set of templates. So you should definitely check these out.
Yeah, they're tested with Litmus too, so that always helps. You know that they're going to render really well. And the design is just so, it's so clean, so crisp.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's amazing because there's really nothing special going on in terms of the typography or anything really unique or out of the box for the layout. It's just like solid use of just color, typography, hierarchy. It's just solid. And it does include the sketch files as well for the download. So you can use that to make edits. You know, if you want to make changes to the design, you don't have to redesign from scratch. You get those files included. So just really well done. Yeah, like you said, these have got to be maybe my favorite templates that I've seen put out there in the wild, at least from a design perspective. Yeah. Obviously, haven't put my hands on them to use them, but they just look absolutely gorgeous. Like, this is something I'd expect Apple to release or something. Like, if Apple
They look that good. I think crisp is the perfect word to describe them, because they are very, very crisp and clean looking. All responsive too, so that helps, because we know more and more people are opening up on mobile devices, so it always helps if your email templates are responsive, and these ones definitely are. The next tool we want to go over is called, I think I'm getting this right, Topple Topol. It's topol.io. But this is a new email builder, so a WYSIWYG drag and drop email builder, very much in the vein of, you know, Campaign Monitor's updated email builder. It's stamp ready, right? Is the other one that's really nice too.
Yep.
But very, very much in that vein. So it's really great. You can take it for a test run. You can use it free if you're just designing using their online service. But if you are a developer and want to build it into your own apps, then they charge a monthly service fee for doing that to access their API and all that good stuff. But this is really nice. It's really nice and clean. I was playing around with it this morning. They give you a couple of different email templates that you can start, use it as a base to start with. But they have really good tools to just drag and drop different components on there. So they have components for text, images, GIFs. They have button components, dividers, spacer. You can dump in your own HTML if you want to. They have social components, video, which I think is kind of interesting, especially since we were talking about the iOS 11 video tag support earlier in this episode. But it's a really handy, useful way to build email campaigns. I haven't looked at the code that it generates, but I'd be curious to see how they're actually going about doing that stuff. They claim it's well-structured and works across all the different email clients, so that's good to see too. But yeah, it's really cool, nice and easy to use. It has good settings for, you know, manipulating text, manipulating the spacing around all of your different elements. You can preview it, you can test it, you can save it and download the HTML files, all that good stuff. So another good tool in your toolbox. If you aren't that handy with code, if you're not a developer, then you can take these, a tool like this, build it visually, make everything look nice and good, and then just download it, upload it to your SP, and you're on your way.
This is actually based off of MJML. They tweaked it a little bit and made some customizations, but that's what the code is based off of. So you know that.
Trust the code that much more, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, the code should be pretty good. Yeah, and like you said, this is very akin to Stamp Ready, Be Free, Campaign Monitors, Canvas, very, very similar UI and UX.
Yep.
So again, if you like that, you can give it a spin, test it out. They also have the ability, obviously, just to download it, and then you can send it a test email to yourself as well. So very helpful for just sort of previewing and getting those quick copies to check locally. All right, we are going to move on to our email of the week. And this time we are taking a look at a sort of launch email for the TV show Fargo. You watched that, Jason?
I haven't. I've heard amazing things about it, but I have yet to watch it. I've seen like a couple of random scenes and stuff, but I hear it's really, really good. So that might be my next binge.
Same. I haven't seen it as well, but I've heard good things. So this is promoting it. And this one definitely, what I think I like about it a lot is that it's one of those emails that's, again, it's not limiting itself to sort of that standard 600 pixels width that we're so accustomed to seeing.
Yeah.
It's pushing it out a little bit more. And it is really simple messaging just to say that Fargo is back. I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that. And each section shows screenshots of the series, basically images from the upcoming season in the different sections. And so I think something like this can connect with end users because they're getting a preview, a glimpse. I think we all know how much imagery really can help users connect with the program, especially if it's a TV show that they really love and are really looking forward to. Even though that this is super simple, I don't know that it really needs to be any more complex than something like this. If you have a well-established show, a well-established audience and base who's looking forward to something like this, something as simple as this can really work well.
Yeah, I really like how it's just very bold and in your face. I love the giant typography, which is actual HTML. It's not an image, which is awesome. And one thing I think is really clever is that there's only a little bit of text. There's a logo for Channel 4. There's like a little bit of header text saying just Fargo Series 3. And then there's the giant Fargo is back text, CTA, brand new series. Everything is linked, which I think is kind of clever. So instead of just having the one CTA on the bottom, which has this great little hover animation too, that it makes it grow a little bit and animates it. every bit of text is linked in this, which I think is a nice little trick. But it's not like one giant, like that Fargo is back isn't one giant link. The Fargo, the is, and the back are individually linked too. So I think that underline when you hover adds another kind of good bold graphic element to it, which I think is like subtle, but really cool too. But yeah, nice and big and bold. And I think it's very, yeah, kind of connects with you on a gut level if you're a fan of the series.
Yeah, and Christian Robinson was one of the developers, I should say, behind this, and he wrote up a whole blog post on Medium about the ins and outs of the implementation for this, and they did some cool things, especially even if you take a look at Gmail app IMAP, the IMAP version, which doesn't support background images. It's smart because the fallback was just to that black background, but then they still had a separate sort of inline image that it showed so that it wasn't relying on the background for that type of environment. So there was still at least one version of imagery. It does some cool things like this and walks you through that. And they even had a little bit of a slightly different implementation of VML backgrounds for Outlook, which we had talked about sort of that fix previously, especially for Windows 10 Mail and such. They had a slight spin on their implementation, which you can read in the code as well, which is pretty neat. I love that we're just constantly evolving in the community, you know, taking pieces of one person's work and building upon it, improving it. So I thought it was pretty interesting, pretty neat, and the whole article is definitely worth a read.
Yeah, I really like, too, he's using the trick, the broken up preview text. So I like that that's the preview text is very like bold and simple too. So he has the preview text is watch the first episode now, and then he used that trick that we recently blogged about that uses the zero width non-joiner and the non-breaking spaces, just like a ton of those, so that none of the text from the emails pulled up into the preview text. So I like that thoughts put into it too, that kind of simplicity and boldness goes from, you know, subject line to preview text to the actual email too when you open it. So really good work from Christian and, you know, everybody that touched it. It's a great email for sure.
That was a great episode, Jason. Jam-packed. And
man, Lots of news.
26. Ton of stuff, man. Email. Whoever says email doesn't change, they're just wrong.
Yeah.
So many changes. So many news.
Alive and well.
Yeah. Live and well. All right. That's going to do it. This edition, Email Geeks. Reminder, go to emaildesignpodcast.com. All these links we talked about, you can catch it all right there, along with every single past episode of the podcast. Tweet along with the hashtag emaildesignpodcast on Twitter. Jason and I are following along there. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes. Get the podcast the second it drops. And don't forget, we got a free 14-day trial up for you. Just go to litmus.com/giftcard. And then put the coupon code podcast. See ya.